My name's Claire. For those of you that don't know me, I'm a member here at ABC. And I'm going to be bringing you the second part of our summer series on how to pray. Brian last week led us brilliantly, didn't he, on the introduction to prayer, and he shared some of his reflections on prayer. And we heard from a few other members of the church about how they pray and what prayer means to them. But today, I'm going to be leading you through what it means to be still before God. I've been a Christian quite a long time, since I was in my teens, and I'm in my 40s now, so that's quite a decent amount of time. And embarrassingly, I would have to say that my prayer life has looked a little bit like this. It's a to-do list. I'm a to-doer. I love to-do lists. And sometimes I would feel like my prayer life would be like having a to-do list. Not that I would actually write a list like I would do in other areas of my life, but I would sort of create this list in my head. So there'd be the things that, first of all, things that would need to go on the list. Things like praying for my friends, my family, their health, their well-being. Praying for things that I'm worrying about, things that bother me, because Jesus says, you know, cast your burdens on me. So that would always go on there. I'd be praying for the church, I'd be praying for the leaders, I'd be praying for the community, that would go on there. I would be praying for maybe things that I was involved in, ministry projects, maybe things that I was leading, I'd be asking for wisdom and guidance. And then I would be praying, sometimes I remember I need to kind of confess some stuff, so that would go on there. And then if I remembered as well, maybe some things to be thankful for, remembering the things that God had done, remembering all the things, all the promises that he has made, I would do that as well. And I don't know about you, but when I write a prayer, when I write just any list, it's usually fairly ambitious. I write a ridiculously large number of things that need to go on the list, too ambitious, to be honest. And I can sometimes, I used to sometimes do this with prayer as well. And then when you have a day when you can't fit it all in, you're having to kind of squeeze some of it out, you're having to like decide what is the most important thing that goes on your prayer list that day. And then I'd also have issues where I'd think, what about getting the order right? I don't know if any of you have kind of come across prayer acronyms. They're kind of like, they're meant to be really helpful, and if you find them helpful, please carry on using them. But for me, I would find them a bit stressful, because I'd have to remember that goes first, that comes second, that comes third, that comes fourth. And if I missed a bit out, I'd be really stressed that my prayer wasn't holy enough or worthy enough. So that was always an issue for me. And I'd also kind of worry about things like getting the right words to say. Were my prayers, did they end right? Did I have enough sort of scriptures in them? Did I say enough holy words? Were they long enough, clever enough? Because some people do say quite big, grand prayers, don't they? And I'd always feel a little bit inferior when it came to praying. And I think what I'd realized is that I've become a bit of a striver. I mean, I'm probably generally a striver in my life anyway, but I was a striver in prayer as well. I'd been striving to make sure I was saying my prayers right, making sure my prayers were heard, making sure they were listened to, and that actually they would be pleasing to God. And I've fortunately come to the realization that that is not okay and that I shouldn't be praying like that. And I began to sort of to wonder then, well, what is the most important thing to be doing when I pray? What is the most important thing I must do when I pray? So we're actually going to take our break now, grab our tea and coffee. It was a very short introduction. It was just something just to kind of land with you guys. And we've kind of got these questions for you to ponder. So get your tea, get your coffee, maybe come back and find a seat. If you want to go and sit in a slightly different space, go and chat to somebody else, maybe you've not seen for a while. Get your tea and coffee, but please do try and at least speak to one other person about these two questions. And these are the questions. What is the most important thing you do when you pray? And secondly, how easy is it for you to be still before God? I'll leave the questions up on the screen whilst we go and get our drinks, and then we'll come back and we'll continue on the journey of talking about stillness. Okay. And this was one of the questions that I asked. What is the most important thing you do when you pray? And there's a familiar story in the book of Luke that I think hopefully will help answer that question. It's a familiar passage. It's Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Got the words up on the screen for you to follow. I'll just read them now. So Jesus is on his way with his disciples to Jerusalem, but he stops off in Bethany to go and visit his mates, Mary and Martha, stops off in their house. And it says this, Jesus and his disciples were traveling along and came to a village. When they got there, a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down in front of Jesus and was listening to what he said. Martha was worried about all that had to be done. Finally, she went to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it bother you that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." And Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her." And I kind of believe this really familiar story can tell us quite a lot about prayer. And we see the kind of two different attitudes, two different postures of these two sisters, one of Mary and one of Martha. So Martha, when Jesus comes to her home, Martha is busy. Martha is kind of getting the house ready, laying the table, making the food, making sure he's welcome. That's actually what's expected. That's the cultural norm. When you have a male come into your home, the woman was expected to do those things. So it's not unusual that that Martha did that. You know, nothing less will do. I have to welcome this my guest, I am the host, I welcome him, everything needs to be perfect. She's striving to make sure that her welcome and her service to Jesus is the best, which is a bit like me when, in my praying, that I was trying to strive to kind of get the very best out of prayer. I was trying to serve Jesus. But if we then turn our attention to Mary, it says, Mary who sat down in front of Jesus and was listening to what he said. So Mary had a different posture. She wasn't doing the thing that was expected of her. She wasn't busy rushing around, getting ready for the guest. She actually sat at the feet of Jesus. She did nothing. There was no action, no words. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and she was still before him, and she just soaked in his presence. And then we kind of get Martha's outburst, don't we? They're kind of like, Jesus, can you just tell her to get off and come and help me in the kitchen get ready? And Jesus' response to her is this. He says very calmly to Martha, only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her. So in Martha's striving and efforts to serve Jesus, to do the very, very best for him, she'd actually missed the main thing, the very thing that actually Mary worked out straight away. And she'd missed the fact that being with Jesus and being still before him was all that is needed. And in my pursuit of striving, in my sort of my to-do lists, my worry about getting the right order, getting my priorities right, making sure it was long enough, good enough, I'd missed the main thing too. So the most important thing, to answer our question that we asked over break time, the most important thing in prayer is to have a relationship with God, which can be discovered through the practice of stillness. And I began to, as I kind of realized this over the last year, I've kind of begun to discover this, and God's been talking to me about this quite a lot more recently. I began to discover the less that I actually pray, the more God does. The less we do when we pray, the more actually God does. I was so busy trying to fill it that I was missing so much. So the less that we actually do, the more we allow God to do. So this act of stillness, this has been practiced throughout the centuries. And it started with Jesus. So Jesus would regularly retreat, wouldn't he, away from the crowds, and he would go off to pray. He would retreat from his disciples and say, no, I'm just going to go and be by myself with my Heavenly Father. He would regularly retreat and go and be still and spend time with the Father. And when he then told his disciples how to pray, when they asked Jesus, how do we pray? Jesus says this. He says, but whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. I used to think the words your room almost physically meant go into like my bedroom or go into a special chair or go into a specific special place. It doesn't actually mean that. What it means is to actually go to our innermost being. It's to mean to travel inwards to the very center of ourselves. And that is where we are going to experience our deepest connection with our Heavenly Father. Not by looking out, but by going to our very innermost being, to our inner selves. And there's many names that we can call this type of prayer. Some people will call it contemplative prayer. Other people will call it prayer of the heart. Or people will call it resting in God or practicing the presence of God. The name doesn't really matter. What matters is the difference it makes in our lives. But we were having a conversation over here about kind of how easy it is to be still. Stillness isn't something that really happens in the 21st century. People aren't still anymore. No one gets bored anymore, do they? Because we've always got technology, we've always got a phone, there's always noise, there's always traffic, there's always, wherever you are, you can always access people or things, and that stops us having access to the ability to be still. And for some people, being still is more comfortable than it is for other people. But I do believe that we are all called to be still before God. And maybe for some of you, you might find this, you might be already doing this, you might find this quite easy, and you're already practicing this, and that's amazing. And if you are, I hope this encourages you to kind of continue to do it, and maybe to share with other people at the end of the service what works for you. But for others, and for me, I'm not somebody that does stillness very well. I am a doer, and I'm a raging extrovert that can't be by myself or be in silence for more than about 5 minutes. So actually, it's quite a hard discipline. And you might be wondering, well, how do I get started? What do I do to try and kind of become still before God? So we're going to actually just watch a really sort of one minute video from the prayer course. Pete Gregg, we watched a video last week from the same prayer course. And we're just going to watch just a very short clippet of how he suggests we enter into communion with God.
Can you then explain for us super practically how we actually do this?
Okay, so it may be helpful to think of contemplation as kind of like a journey or a dance that passes through three clear phases, okay? So the first one is meditation. We begin with meditation, and that is the me and God stage.
Okay.
Okay? Meditation's kind of can be hard work because we're trying to focus.
Yeah.
The next step is contemplation. Meditation becomes contemplation, and that is God and me, right? It switches from me and God to God and me. In other words, the center of gravity shifts, and I become less aware of myself and more aware of God. But then contemplation really comes to its fullness, and this doesn't always happen, into communion. I would call it communion. And that is where it's no longer me and God or God and me, it's just God. We are just so aware of him that we really stop thinking about ourselves. In that lovely phrase from Charles Wesley, we are lost in wonder, love, and praise. Mm.
So to get to that connection point, there are kind of three steps. And the first is meditation. It's that way of being able to begin to fix your mind on Christ and to focus your mind on Christ. That practice that Jesus says of go to your room, go to your inner room, to the innermost being, and pray to your Father in secret. Many of you all have maybe either heard of Brother Lawrence or maybe read some of his letters. He was a 17th century monk, French monk, that worked in a monastery in the kitchen. He'd been in the army and he'd suffered quite a significant injury. So actually working the relentless hours that you have to do in a kitchen is actually really quite hard when you've kind of got this leg injury. And he says this, he kind of says that he almost practices stillness continuously. And he says and claims that there is no spot that we cannot draw near to him. So when he was turning the microwave on, cooking, whatever he was doing, washing the dishes, he was always practicing the presence of God. And so the point of that is that you can be still at any time, anywhere, because it's in you. God is in you. He is right here in us all the time. And it's more about having sort of an increased consciousness and increased awareness of God, rather than kind of feeling like you kind of got to carve out like a 5-minute block, like it's sort of like another to-do list. It's more just having an increased consciousness. And so that for you might be that as you're waiting to get on the train to go to work, or you're queued at traffic lights, or you're just about to serve dinner, that you can just take a moment and actually just kind of go into God consciousness, with go into the innermost part of your being. I had some still time last week. Our school did a big event a couple of weeks ago, and I had the lovely job of cleaning out the barbecue. So as I'm scraping the fat off the bottom of the barbecue, this is such a nice job I got to do, I was like, I actually had some still time with God. I really wasn't expecting it, but I was by myself, and it kind of, I just thought, you know, I just was gonna just like, this is such a really disgusting task. But I'm kind of, I actually started to really enjoy it, and I started to feel like God was really speaking to me through through that activity, which wasn't planned. And I really just enjoyed that half an hour with God. For some people, though, they do find it helpful to kind of have what Pete calls like gateways into kind of focusing on God. So things that you can do that might help to draw your attention to God. And so here are some ideas that you might want to try. It may be helpful for you to take hold of an object, like a stone or a cross or a picture. It might be that you simply want to gaze at something, maybe a beautiful flower or a piece of art on a wall. Something like that can be really helpful for you to begin to focus on Jesus. It might be that there is a particular verse of scripture that you just say over and over again, or it might be just a single word or a prayer phrase. When I try and do this now, I say, come, Lord Jesus, come, and I say it over and over again. It might be that you want to kind of focus on your breathing, just that kind of that thought of breathing in and breathing out, just that kind of that consciousness of your breathing can just help you move away from what's going on in your busyness of your mind into drawing your attention towards Christ. It may be that you want to adopt a certain posture. It might be that you just want to lay prostrate on the floor, or you want to kneel, or you want to lift out your hands. All of these things are okay. I mean, these are all fairly static postures, aren't they? But for some people, they actually can. You can become still not being physically still. So I don't generally do the physical stillness bit. I am always a kind of a kinetic stillness person. So I will go for a walk, and I will notice how the trees lie and how the water moves on the canal. And I will maybe just hear something. And so almost like connecting with creation connects me to the creator. It might be that while you're doing an activity, whether that's artwork, woodwork, scraping the fat off the barbecue, whatever it might be that you do, is a way for you to connect with God. And all that is really needed is just time for you just to stop what you're thinking and begin to focus your mind on Christ. That's what meditation is. Which then leads to contemplation. So after he's told the disciples to go into their room, or to go to their room, their inner room, and to pray to their Father in secret, he says this, and I'm just going to read the Message version. He says, and then the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. So at that point, you're beginning to kind of to really receive from God. And I guess with contemplation, kind of God begins to take center stage. So before, you know, maybe kind of like in your own your previous prayer life, or when you're kind of trying to meditate, it's almost like when you're looking down a lens, you just see what's in front of you. But when you're kind of in your contemplative phase, you kind of get like this whole kind of panoramic view. You see so much more than you could see before. That opens up your mind, and you begin to hear from God that way. And it, you know, you can begin to hear, and God can reflect things to you, things that may be really good and exciting, but also maybe things that are challenging, where he wants to challenge you, and you need to be ready to receive whatever he has to give you. But you always receive it in a place of love, because I think when you're in your contemplative phase, I think you begin to really become really aware of who you are in Christ, his love for you, and your identity and your purpose. The less we do, the more God does. The less we do, the more we feel. The less we do, the more we discover. The less we do, the more we experience. And we may never get to say any of the things that we thought we were going to say when we were having our quiet time. And that's okay, because God always actually knows what we were going to say anyway, doesn't he, before we even said it. And then on to communion. As we continue on that contemplative journey, we kind of come to a place where we enter our deepest communion with God, where there's not just me and God, or God and me, it's just God, where time stands still, where you can only see God, you feel enveloped by God. And there's this lovely phrase that one of the desert fathers, Antony the Great, from back in the 3rd century says, that I just think is lovely. He says this: perfect prayer is to not know you are praying at all. That's perfect prayer, to not know you are even praying. You're just in the presence of the everlasting Father, and that's where you are to be. And I read this week, somebody sent me this, this short piece from Father Richard Rohr. He is the founder of the Centre for Action and Contemplation, and he says this, and it's lovely, so I'll read it slowly. He says, if our prayer goes deep, invading our unconscious, our whole view of the world will change from fear to connection. We don't live inside our fragile and encapsulated self anymore, nor do we feel any need to protect it. Through meditation, we move from ego consciousness to soul awareness, from being fear-driven to being love-drawn. I just love that, the idea that we can become soul-aware and love-drawn. That's something I want to experience, and I'm sure that's something you want to experience too. But we know that doing this is not easy. Being still is hard. We get distracted. There was a nun back in the 16th century, a Spanish Carmelite nun called Teresa of Avila, and she would spend her life devoted in prayer. So this was kind of like easy for her, but she would use an egg timer, or like an hourglass kind of egg timer. So it didn't go in 3 minutes, it took an hour to go through. That was the way that she timed prayer. But occasionally she'd say, it's going on a bit long, I could just do with the hour hurrying up. So she'd shake the egg timer to try and speed it up a little bit more. So even a nun who spends her life devoted in prayer doesn't always find this easy. So when we're struggling, be reassured. And distraction is really, is a real thing, isn't it? We get distracted easy by the things that are going on in our lives and in our minds. You know, I spent this week being in the Lake District, and I've discovered I'm really easily distractible. So every junction I was meant to take, I missed. Every road I was meant to turn down, I didn't turn down. And every car park I was meant to go in, I also missed. And so my boys are sitting in the car laughing at me. And it's because they're either talking to me, a really good song comes on the radio, somebody tells a really good joke, or there's a really nice view out the window. And so I'm rubbish at actually keeping distracted. I think we all are, but it didn't matter because we still got to the place we wanted to go to. I just laughed at myself. I did an awesome U-turn in a road, and then I just carried on my way. So it was absolutely fine. I got to where I wanted to go to. So it's okay if you get distracted. And in some ways, we can often think, oh, if it hasn't worked, if I've got distracted and I've lost that sense of where I was going, I should just give up because I'm not very good at it. Don't do that. Just come back to the thing. Come back to your meditation point you started at the beginning and just go back to it. God wants you to persevere in order to have a relationship with him. As a newbie, I guess, to the practice of stillness, I have been reassured from friends that it does get easier the more and more we practice it. This is a discipline, so it's going to take some time if you've never practiced it before. And I'm really excited for the journey that I'm going to be on. God doesn't want my prayer life to be filled with striving. He doesn't want it to be filled with to-do lists or being busy or trying to worry about serving him. He just wants me to sit at his feet and spend time with him and just to enjoy his presence. And he wants that for you too. So what we're going to do now is, you'll have seen kind of around the room, maybe on some tables in front of you, we've got some things out. We're actually going to just take a short period of time to be still now in this place before we close in worship. And so what you can do is you can just either go and you'll see some stones, there's some crosses, there's some images. There's going to be an image up on the screen. You can either stay where you are, you can move into one of the others. Kind of, there's a few spaces here where there is nobody sitting. If you want to change your position, if you want to lie on the floor, we've got some space. If you want to kneel, whatever you want to do, we're just going to simply meditate and see where God takes us. All I'm going to be doing is, if you want to just now, just have a look at what's in front of you. See if there's anything that you think I want to take hold of or have a look at. If you just want to either hold it or just gaze over it, that's absolutely fine. If you want to change position, now is the time maybe to start doing that. And I'm just going to very briefly just start us off with just a very short meditative exercise, just a few words, just to get us into that. And then we're just going to have a period of silence and a period of stillness. Don't worry if any children need to make noise. If you want to move around, that's fine. Straight from that, the band is going to come up and we're going to kind of have a closing time in worship. I'll just put up an image for you. So just give you a moment just to have a look and see if there's anything that you want to use. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still. Be still.